Welcome to Ask the Chief Information Officer on Federal News Radio. Every week, Federal News Radio Executive Editor Jason Miller interviews CIOs of federal agencies about the latest directives, IT challenges, and successes. Now, your host, Jason Miller.
My guest today is Lieutenant General Bill Bender, Air Force Chief of Information Dominance and Chief Information Officer. General Bender, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us.
Great to be here with you. Thank you.
Well, let's start with just some basics. You took over as Air Force CIO just recently in the last couple months. It's interesting because your background, and I want to ask you about your background, it's not necessarily IT, traditional IT. So talk a little bit about your background. How'd you end up in this role as CIO versus so many other roles you could have in the Air Force?
Well, one really never knows how you end up in a particular role, but I can tell you that I'm very excited to be here to start. I have primarily an operational background in the United States Air Force, 32 years off and on in and out of the mobility air forces. And so I'm a pilot by trade. That's my trade craft, and have flown a number of large aircraft throughout my career, a number of command positions typically related to those mobility positions, and in and out of staff at the major command level, at the headquarters Air Force level, joint staffs, and so a pretty good smattering. In a lot of ways, as I think to my role that I'll play here, is pulling all of that together after a long career and having an operational perspective as we get about some of the problems that we face in the IT and cyber areas of the Air Force.
So you've flown a lot of large aircrafts. Have you ever flown one large like the IT systems and software of the Air Force? I mean, you probably flown C-130 is a big aircraft, right?
C-130, C-17, C-141. So a number of large aircraft. And I think if you were to put them all together in the complexity of those missions, they probably pale in comparison. I think that's the point that you're making to the IT sort of battle space, if you will. That said, I think a career of experience and operational perspective helps contribute to the so what factor as we go about trying to address some very near-term concerns that we have, both related to IT investment going forward and also to the cyber domain and how we as an Air Force have to address the threat that is really out there. We recognize it and it's growing.
Well, I'll do my best not to have too many analogies of changing the airplane tires in mid-flight or whatever they use, and so many times we hear.
I appreciate
it. A couple things. When you took over as the role of the Air Force CIO, obviously Lieutenant General Baslow came before you. He was fairly well known in the federal IT community. What kind of advice, what did he tell you about the job? What were some of the things you need to keep in mind as you're walking into this new role?
I think we almost exclusively spent our sort of transition time together, and that really spread across a number of months. I had a previous assignment where I was coming out of Baghdad, Iraq. It allowed me a good amount of spin-up time to visit with a number of agencies and partners in some of the work that General Baslow was doing at that time. And so a good crosstalk developed over those couple of months before I actually came to this position. But specifically, we talked about the organization that he had worked very hard to develop here at the SAF, the Secretary of the Air Force CIO and A6, Air Force A6 office, a very flat organization built around the idea and the need for integration in the IT environment, and also some of the work that he was doing to expand upon the role of the Chief Information Officer to ensure that it was a value-added proposition for the Air Force.
And I think we're going to get to that later in the show. But before we do that, let's jump right into some of the change that's going on. You kind of brought up the integration point. There's just a ton of change happening, not across just the Air Force, but across DOD, across the entire federal government. Talk just a little bit about your vision for the Air Force IT, Air Force cyber, when it comes to, you know, things like enterprise and shared services. You know, there's obviously the DoD enterprise email, there's the JIE, which we'll get to as well. There's also the idea of you have a lot of contractors versus civilians versus uniformed personnel that work in the IT area. Just give me a sense of what your vision is.
To your earlier point about the complexity of IT writ large, I think that one of the first observations I had is that if we don't focus our efforts across or down specific lines of effort, that we would be trying to, you know, put our proverbial finger in the dike all over on the IT issues, and so have spent a fair amount of time trying to boil down all of these observations from a lot of engagements in the last number of months into specific areas of interest. Call them a vision, call them a strategy, but the reality is, what are we going to focus on as our priorities? From those priorities will come, you know, specific initiatives, much of the work that we're already doing today, but if you will, binning it against a specific line of effort, and from that, specific action plans, because in the end, a strategy is only worth the paper it's written on unless you get about the actions that you want to put against those initiatives and those lines of efforts. Specifically, the lines of effort really have to do with the joint information environment and the work that needs to be done by the Air Force to bring us forward into the joint area. We've got a lot of good experience with the Air Force networks, the single security architecture. Now the next evolution of that is going to a joint architecture shared with the military departments together working on the specifics of laying in joint regional security stacks and all the work at the installation level. We can probably get into that in more detail momentarily. Additionally, we want to understand the cyber threat that's out there. I would say that what's needed in the Air Force is a more enterprise perspective. We're doing a very good job at protecting and defending our networks. We haven't done as much work at an enterprise level, at least to draw in all of the work that's being done in functional stovepipes so that there's a connectedness to it and a way forward, again, to what actions and what policy and guidance necessary to address the cyber concerns that we have. A third thing that drives from both of those really has to do with the transition to JIE, and the addressing the cyber problem is going to definitely require a transformation of our current workforce. And that is a cradle-to-grave look at how we repurpose some airmen that today are working in what I would consider commoditized IT. As we transition them, we need to think through and develop a career track for cyber operators of the future. So there's a lot of work in the career field development piece of this. And then finally, which is, I think, the reason that we're having this interview, that the CIO role has become much more prominent for the Air Force. When I took this job, it was made clear to me from the Secretary of the Air Force, from the Chief of Staff of the Air Force, and frankly from every flag officer at the 3- and 4-star level that I've met in the last number of months, that a strong, prominent, value-added CIO is what's necessary to pull all of those three issues that I said together in some kind of cogent way and to make sense of some very big complex issues for the Air Force.
We have to take a break. My guest today is Lieutenant General Bill Bender, the Air Force Chief Information Officer. I'm your host, Jason Miller. You're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. My guest today is Lieutenant General Bill Bender, the Air Force Chief Information Officer. I'm your host, Jason Miller.
Let's jump into each of those priorities, if you will, or strategy areas. The JIE, let's start there. I know, for instance, that the Air Force teamed with the Army, Joint Base San Antonio, just in the last couple months, to kick off kind of the first instance of the, I guess, GRSS and CONUS. Give me a sense how that's working from your perspective, and where do you see this relationship going, not just through GRSS, but we'll talk more broadly with GIE, but let's start with the security.
To answer your question specifically, it's gone very well. I think there's a lot of momentum starting at the DOD CIO, Mr. Halverson and his team, as well as each of the services, really tied together in our efforts to go jointly into the future. What I would say there is that the Air Force is trying to first demonstrate full partnership. We're behind JIE as a concept, and certainly the first initial steps with the laying in and equipping of JRSS. We're a full partner, but at the same time, the Air Force has 3+ years of experience with a single security architecture with the AFNET. And so in a lot of ways, we want to lead in both the sort of definition of the architectures involved here to make sure that we leverage that experience that we have, and at the same time in operationalizing the JRSS and pieces to follow that in total make up the JIE.
I had a very interesting conversation with Mike Krieger, the former deputy CIO of the Army before he left. And one of the things he mentioned about JRSS was the idea that everyone got on board, meaning the military departments and agencies got on board, because it was something that they were already doing in many respects, a single architecture. And you mentioned that here. How much different is the JRSS from the Air Force perspective compared to what you guys were maybe doing for the last 3 years with AFNET? Is it 80% the same? Is that 80-20 rule?
I think it's fair to characterize it as the next evolution for the Air Force. Again, we've had tremendous success. In fact, we're the only service that has a single security architecture. And so in 2011, we went through, you know, some amount of pains and a great deal of investment, over $800 million in the time to make the transition to the AFNET. And so JRSS is the next logical evolution, and it buys us added security at a time that we know that we need it. It buys us a joint solution, which we know this is the way we go and fight, and so it makes sense in that regard. The one caution and perhaps a slight difference of our perspective from maybe some of the other services is that we want to be very careful to keep it affordable. We know that we have tremendous expenses facing us in the out years, and so the balance that we need to play in perhaps limiting ourselves to the gold standard instead of the platinum standard, recognizing that gold is still better than where we are today, and then always leaving the door open later on to making improvements. So an affordable, agile approach to the JRSS and to JIE writ large is where the Air Force is trying to lead this discussion.
Is there a little bit of concern on your end that maybe that JRSS could balloon in terms of the cost to services? And is that why that's maybe just a little bit of a concern on your end?
Yeah, I think it's an understanding from past experience that if we're not careful, we can let the requirements slip into, as I said, something more than we really need, and we're no longer just focused on the problem we're trying to solve, which for us is the next evolution of the AFNET. We're at end of life, we're rapidly approaching end of life, and so we want it to be better. We want to take into account the cybersecurity requirements that we know that we face. JRSS can do all of that, but again, we also have constrained budgets in the future that we absolutely know we're going to have to live within. If I can, one added concern here is that JIE is a concept and it's not a program of record. And so we have, in order to go fast, knowing that that is an imperative for us, we have in some ways sub-optimized our ability to use the Air Force corporate process. And I'm only talking about my service in this case, but I'm sure there's a parallel for the other services. Getting the money to do what we need in terms of meeting JRSS is complicated by the fact that we're outside of the normal corporate process. I think it's a necessity, and we're working very hard now to sort of pull on both of those threads in order to get what we need to move forward. We know that we've got to get there.
Let's talk about the JIE more broadly. I know, obviously, it's not one single program. It's a bunch of them. But where do you see this heading from the Air Force perspective over the next, 6 months, 9 months, even a couple years?
JRSS happens now, and so a lot of work is being done. In fact, we're trying to drive down those costs. But let's assume the best, that JRSS gets equipped and implemented. The next step for us is the installation processing nodes, sort of the connectedness to the JRSS at the local level. In the end, the goal here is to assure the mission that the Air Force has, and specifically the five Air Force core missions. And so that takes place at the local level. We're organized against wings, and so installations is where it gets done. There's a lot of devil in the details piece to this. So you've got the JRSSs, you build out the connectedness at the local level, and then you have to give some concern to the applications that are necessary to assure that mission. And so we're doing a lot of work now to both rationalize and to migrate, if you will, the migration of the applications to the local level, focused on mission assurance. And finally, there's a lot of effort that we're putting behind data center consolidation that is an outside benefit to, as I mentioned earlier, a migration of a lot of our commodity types of things to either a commercial or a mill cloud solution. That will afford us the ability to rein in some of the many servers and data centers that are out there to get at the efficiencies that JIE is intended to bring.
Talk a little bit more about that data center consolidation. When you talk about commercial or mill cloud, do you have an idea yet of how many data centers you're going to get down to and what types of information will be stored on a commercial cloud versus a mill cloud? And define commercial, because I heard a great definition just recently about that a commercial cloud is not necessarily a, like you and I signed up for Yahoo email or Google email. It's actually a government-only cloud run in the commercial sector. So it's not that your data is not being intermingled with non-Air Force or non-military data or non-government data.
This is the largest concern we've all heard, you know, recently and going back a number of years, of the growing cyber criminal threat and the compromise of data out there. And so sort of the balance that needs to be struck between security and the protection of our data out in a commercial entity, whether it's a purely commercial solution or a private enclave carved out of the cloud. The reality is that we're concerned about security and we're working very hard to get a better understanding of that. But some data, you know, data comes at different levels in terms of what we hold most dear, for example, may in fact not migrate to a commercial solution, but other data may very well go and be less of a concern for us. And so we're working through the thinking part of this in making our decisions. I think your point about data center consolidation, it's where a lot of money is for us in terms of reaping the benefits of a much more efficient JIE future comes in getting some of those commodities out of our networks, repurposing the people that are currently assigned to that kind of work, and letting them become more focused on, you know, defending and operating on our networks and assuring our missions in the future.
We have to take a break. My guest today is Lieutenant General Bill Bender, the Air Force Chief Information Officer. I'm your host, Jason Miller. You're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. My guest today is Lieutenant General Bill Bender, the Air Force Chief Information Officer. I'm your host, Jason Miller.
You brought up cybersecurity several times, one of the ideas of within the cloud, but also as a main area of focus for you to really get a grasp, a better grasp of the cyber threat. And even there's a workforce piece to that as well. Talk a little bit about where the Air Force is going around cyber. I know one of the things I heard most recently was the Air Force CTIO, Mr. Konechny, talked about role-based authentication. So if you could maybe work that into the response as well.
First and foremost is work that needs to be done, as I said, at an enterprise level to what I would describe as a diagnosis of the problem. Where do all the problems lie? And in many cases, I think that there's a recognition of the threat, and so a lot of work is being done in a disparate manner. But when you take an enterprise view, there hasn't been, at least for the Air Force that I can figure, an enterprise perspective on what we're going to do about it. And so in pockets, when we consider, to your point about the veracity of the data or to the authentication required, we're trying really hard to think through how do we do that in a manner that brings us into the point where we're an information age Air Force in the IT realm. And a way of doing that is taking advantage of the technologies, but always keeping our eye on the security required. So role-based, as an example of authentication, should be baked in to our IT systems in the future. It should make life a whole lot easier for the user, because when they pick up and move to a different location anywhere they are globally, they're recognized for their access that they've been granted and continue to operate as if they were home station, you know. And so this is one aspect of many that need to be addressed and kind of thought through in a way to, you know, move us into sort of an applications-based single security architecture that assures the security of those operating on the network going forward.
How close are you to implementing or at least testing some of that ideas behind the role-based authentication? Because I know that the Defense Department has been ahead of the rest of the government when it comes to using your CAT card to log on for computer network access. And the results from that has been tremendous. Now I understand that it's still a big benefit, but what's the next step seems to be the role-based authentication, especially with bigger and broader concerns about even insider threats. Can you give me a sense of where do you see that heading from a role-based perspective?
I think there is a slice of what I would call the common computing environment that is being worked on hard. So if you will, in the end, we are working hard to make our first migration to the DoD MIL cloud in the area of logistics and enterprise supplies and planning, you know, and that's not the right word for it, but basically logistics, combat support. In that migration, there's an authentication piece required. Are you accessing the application with the authorizations that you've been granted to do it? And so it's an automated approach, and it gets people out of the middle of it. So the work is being done, but there's a couple of different options for how we build in the security architectures associated with that particular application or suite of applications migration. And so I would say that we're not ready for prime time yet, but a lot of good work is being done by the CTOs out there and by the PEOs, the program offices, specifically in this case at Hanscom Air Base, to address the security concerns.
Would you hope to say you'd like to get this rolled out more broadly, or at least in a full production mode over the next year, over the next 6 months? Do you have a time frame in mind?
You know, this is all moving at, relatively speaking, light speed, but I think we're looking at a lot of the foundational work is being done now, and not unreasonable to say a year to 2 years we should see, you know, rapid advancement. All of these efforts, data center consolidation, application rationalization and migration, the common computing environment, you know, sort of architecture work, all of that is being done simultaneously. So I think that we're in go as fast as we can mode, but there's also some constraining points. Where's the money going to come to pay for this? And then where the no kidding engineering sort of hurdles that we have to get across. But I think it's fair to say 18 months to 2 years, we'll see, you know, a lot of this rolling out and going operational. And in fact, some of our efforts have already driven, we're already migrating to the MIL cloud in certain areas. There's on the JIE enterprise service efforts, there's a lot of work being done out at AFSpace for a prototype of some, you know, tens of thousands of users that can use an enterprise service provided email service and the equivalent of SharePoint. There's an effort taking place here at the HAF to move forward on mobility in terms of a way ahead there to get to common devices and things of that nature. So a lot of efforts ongoing that all support JIE, the concept.
I know we're just about out of time, so let me just get you the getaway question, if you will. One of the last things you mentioned was the roles and responsibilities or the value added of the CIO. Just give me a quick sense of how are you continuing down that path, because I think time and again, people worry about, do the CIOs have a seat at the table? And I think in the military is a little different, but based on your rank and your tenure, I think that makes it maybe a little easier, at least from the outsider's perspective. So give me a sense of where do you see the role of the CIO going?
You know, I'm going to characterize this as operationalizing the CIO, and that may be to a degree where I have the best position. As an outsider to the career field, I can look at it through an operational lens and always be asking the so what factor. So when I to the specifics of how does the CIO become more prominent, I think there's a couple of ways. One, our governance structure, the IT executive board, the governance executive board, is a way to align with the Air Force corporate process in a way that we bring IT considerations forward in the planning, the programming, the budgeting, and the execution phase. And so aligning ourselves with our governance for IT in conjunction with the annual corporate process. So, for example, when I run a December IT governance executive board, we will be looking at program guidance that is going to be distributed for the 17-year. So we'll inform that through some of the decisions we make related to IT. So governance on one piece, and a second thing is working hard to, you know, find ways to be informative and a part of the investment strategy. In the end, I think that the kernel of why CIOs and where's the value added has to do with a recognition by Congress, Clarence Cohen, and all of the legislation piece of this was the statutory obligation that I have to be fiscally responsible. And so I have to have a seat at the table where it comes to investment strategy in the Air Force. That's similar to the other services and, frankly, a place where the Air Force hasn't done as well, but that I hope to, through operationalizing the CIO, become much more prominent in that role.
All right, I know we could talk longer, but unfortunately we are out of time. My guest today was Lieutenant General Bill Bender, the Air Force Chief of Information Dominance and Chief Information Officer. I'm your host, Jason Miller. You've been listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. General Bender, thank you so much for taking the time to join us.
Great to be with you today. Thanks very much.
Stay tuned as we'll hear more from Lieutenant General Bender. We'll play an excerpt from a recent speech he gave at the FCA Nova Air Force IT Day. Welcome back. In this part of the show, we hear from Lieutenant General Bill Bender, the Air Force Chief Information Officer, who gave a recent speech at the FCA Northern Virginia Chapter's Air Force IT Day. In this part of his speech, Lieutenant General Bender talks about the service's need to transform, beginning with cybersecurity.
There are very honestly a perfect storm of key trends and drivers, including the proliferation of state and non-state cyber actors, increasing public concern after a raft of high-profile data breaches, the trend toward commercial cloud services, the rapid march toward mobile capabilities, the flatlining in our country of skilled workforce, absent the required math and science skills needed to address this threat head-on, and finally, the fatigue we feel when yet another cyber intrusion is reported, which in turn leads to a counterintuitive but very real problem of a growing risk tolerance for this. And all of these trends and drivers underscore the importance of transforming our Air Force where it comes to cybersecurity. It goes without saying we must do so while striking a balance with security, efficiency, and resources at a time our service is facing daunting challenges in carrying out a transformation. As requirements proliferate, the cyber threat grows, and future budgets remain constrained, the harsh reality is that we can't do everything, at least not all at once. In an effort to focus our efforts going forward, I developed a campaign plan that identifies four distinct lines of effort, which are intended to develop well-defined initiatives and decide on actions that support each of those lines of effort. So with that as a backdrop, I'd like to spend just a few minutes sharing my intent for how I see the Air Force going forward, despite the challenges in front of us. First, it's critical that we all agree with the premise that cyberspace is an operational domain. The Air Force, in concert with OSD and our sister services, must learn to operate in and support missions through cyberspace in the most effective and efficient manner possible. We must evolve from what is today a centrally managed planning and command and control structure to a fully distributed and collaborative operations. At the Joint Warfighter IT Day events last September, my predecessor introduced some key tenets and goals underpinning the Air Force's information dominance strategy. In support of that strategy, my efforts as the CIO must focus on the lines of efforts and specific initiatives and actions needed to meet those tenets and goals. My campaign plan provides members of the organization clear intent as to what those lines of efforts will be. The Air Force is a full partner with DoD and the services in the transition to a joint information environment. First and foremost, this is about support for the Joint Warfighter, and the measure of merit for JIE going forward is mission success. The Air Force has been and must continue to lead the development and maturation of cyber capabilities and IT services in order to achieve that desire. And while we work to lay in JIE investments in the 17 POM, we are also working with DoD CIO to develop a funding strategy for purchase and install of the JRSS beginning this fiscal year. The Air Force has great experience with a single security architecture, having operated our gateways since 2011. But the gateways are nearing end of life, and JRSS is the next logical evolution of the AFNET. JRSS is critical as an enabler to JIE going forward. And while not an end in and of itself, we do believe there's great potential to realize significant IT efficiencies. By pursuing commercial or military cloud capabilities in those cases where IT commodities can be provided as a service, by consolidating our data centers and by eliminating redundant infrastructure, we believe we'll find those savings. At the end of the day, we must reduce the cost of Air Force operations by leveraging improved IT and reducing the cost of IT infrastructure across the board as a way of freeing up needed funds for modernization and enhancement to the mission-related accounts. An important point is that we have no alternative other than to proceed as fast as we possibly can, since repurposing that manpower currently managing our networks is seen as the most likely option for manning future cyber operations. A second line of effort is to do a better job of clearly aligning our CIO A6 objectives with overall Air Force and joint operational priorities as a way of measuring the relevance of our own objectives. Operationalizing CIO authorities will require having a greater role than we do today in developing the investment strategy, and that will require formalizing my role in the budget cycle. And to do that, we'll aggressively work to reinvigorate our IT governance process and to align with the Air Force corporate process. An area where I believe strong CIO leadership is called for, and what we're postured to undertake in the very near term, is to fully integrate mobile capabilities into Air Force day-to-day operations at all levels. Bottom line, we must work toward a future that leads to an information age Air Force, one that ensures seamless integration within and among warfighting and support systems, and that evolves from a centrally managed planning, command and control structure into a fully distributed and collaborative environment. It goes without saying, cybersecurity is a national defense issue, and I believe an existential threat to the Air Force because it holds at risk our ability to assure and be successful in our five core missions. As the video demonstrated, the nation's critical infrastructure is at risk, and that means cybersecurity must be a top priority for the United States Air Force. There are many things that we've been doing and will continue to do to address this threat, including heightened efforts to hold every Air Force member accountable for cyber hygiene, to lay in role-based authentication that supports JIE identity and access management, and other enterprise-level efforts to guard and provide certifiably trusted mission data. But we know there is much, much more that we need to be doing. And as a result, we are posturing ourselves to stand up and lead a cybersecurity task force concentrated on synchronizing our efforts at the enterprise level as it concerns securing the cyberspace domain needed to enable the five independent and integrated core missions: air and space superiority, ISR, rapid global mobility, global strike, and command and control. Doing so requires taking a rigorous and systematic whole of Air Force approach with a couple of straightforward desired outcomes. First, a comprehensive assessment and diagnosis of the problem. And second, a prioritized strategy and investment plan for how to meet the challenges we face. Again, the focus must remain on mission assurance and taking the actions necessary to either mitigate the threat or at least manage the risk. There aren't enough resources nor brain cells to insist on a zero defects mentality. So our crown jewels must be identified, priorities established, and resources properly aligned for the most effective and efficient risk management to take place. As you're all very aware, industry is increasingly using more internal and external audits to evaluate their cyber risk profile and their cyber hygiene, and then making the needed adjustments as vulnerabilities and risk become known. Now, there's no denying a lot of work is already being done in stovepipe fashion all across the Air Force, but there is currently no enterprise view of the problem, nor well-defined enterprise-level assessment or mechanism to identify and address those vulnerabilities when we find them. This effort must be comprehensive in a way that focuses on our warfighting capabilities, and so must include our networks, our base infrastructure, our weapon systems, our theater and deployed networks, and the defense industrial base and supply chains on which we depend. And so I envision a phased effort where outcomes from one phase inform the next. I can imagine a large distributed task force membership, including many of you, that includes all who have equities in the outcome, and I see an effort that stretches well out into 2016. So big, robust, and outcome focused. A fourth line of effort that we cannot ignore, one that is inextricably tied to the JIE and the cybersecurity LOEs, concerns the necessity to transform our workforce. By necessity, we must undertake a cradle-to-grave transformation of the communications and information workforce to make it relevant in the information age Air Force of the future. And this will entail changes to our accession programs, to our training and education programs, and to our career field development programs. Again, much of this work is already underway as we evolve from today's communication squadron to cyber operations squadrons of the future, but much work remains to be done. Now, the lines of efforts I've just described are primarily intended as a way to focus our limited human capital against the Air Force's highest priorities. And as you expect, there are a number of focused initiatives underpinning each of these lines of effort and literally hundreds of required actions that support those initiatives. There are no quick fixes that lead to an overnight transformation to the Air Force of the future. But while staff work is hard because there are so many variables and complexities, at its very core, it's about informing decisions and having some reasonable chance of implementing those decisions. That's pretty basic stuff. To further boil down the campaign plan itself, it's really needed to keep our focus on three key concerns: people, process, and technology. And where technology is concerned, we need to be developing and acquiring agile yet affordable IT cyber capabilities that will help us in our one primary task, again, broken record, mission assurance. What we need are tools to help us wade through those variables, typically in the form of raw data, to make sense of it and to support the conclusions and recommendations we hope to draw from that data. One such tool we continue to refine is something we launched back when I was the director of warfighting integration. It's called the Decision Support Tool. The basic idea was to make sense of the disparate data sources and turn that into useful information through a kind of holistic visualization of the Air Force enterprise. If you will, a tool to help us better understand the integrated nature of things, to see where all the dots are connected. The Decision Support Tool has evolved since that time into a tool that provides good transparency of programmatic and operational interdependencies, and that essentially identifies before decisions are made where there will likely be second and third order effects. It helps us to assess capabilities and capacity and to see and better understand how systems integrate, even where asymmetric databases exist. You'd be right to ask, so what? Well, I mentioned DST as an example of where we need to innovate in meaningful ways that help us take on the efforts I've described above in an environment where we can no longer expect more people or more money. DST, while far from perfect, is essentially an analysis tool that helps us avoid costly decisions by determining future effects. It helps us determine warfighter needs and to assess whether a contemplated requirement is either too costly or perhaps irrelevant, and whether there are others already using or in need of a similar capability. Whereas stovepipe data sources only paint a limited picture for a very specific purpose, DST provides us an integrated look into problems so that we can make better decisions, decisions that we can afford and that have a reasonable chance of being implemented. decisions that are foundational to remaining at the technology forefront that will define mission success for the Air Force of the future. In addition to helping us innovate and evolve the Air Force going forward, there are key other areas where I think our industry partners can help us. The two key buzzwords that I've already mentioned today are agility and affordability. What can be done to foster those two attributes in every application or system you provide the Air Force? That's the question we need to be asking. Whether it is to support our cybersecurity efforts or helping us address the myriad of other joint warfighting demands on the information pathways of the future, we need a strong partnership with industry to ensure we get this right. Whether that involves assisting us with our migration efforts to JIE through data center consolidation, or the move of IT commodities to commercial cloud solutions, or helping us with application rationalization in order to lay the groundwork for an effective JRSS transition, or helping us to better advance our efforts in big data analytics, or taking the necessary steps to fully leverage mobility in our daily operations, industry will be our partner to get it right and to help us get there.
That's all the time we have for today. We heard from Lieutenant General Bill Bender, the Air Force Chief Information Officer. I'm Jason Miller. You've been listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.
You've been listening to Ask the Chief Information Officer. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website. Ask the CIO, Thursday mornings at 10:30, only on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.